So our next speaker, it's my great pleasure to introduce Monica Sen, who is now at the Research Center for Buddhist Murals of Kucha on Northern Silk Road, in the fans, also the faculty member of the Leipzig University. I saw about a month back the wonderful work that she is doing. I admire a lot the work that Monica has done so far. Somebody who has a large vision, not to stay in the top of the pyramid, but time to time come down and look at, if you look at her work, she covered Ajanta, she covered Andhra Pradesh, and also she covers Gandhara. Now she is working also in Kucha, somebody with the enormous knowledge of the paintings of whole Asia. It's my great pleasure, Monica, to ask you to come.
Thank you very much, Asmund, and thank you very much for inviting me here. This is just first attempt to know more about small deities, mostly Denja demons. Not that far, really far with the research, but I really hope for discussion, and I just wanted to show it to you. Before I start, I would like to introduce three people from Leipzig, just sitting in the middle of the room. If you have questions about our project, you're welcome to ask all of us. And before I start, I also wanted to say, just to add something to our discussion, to Anna's and Ciro's today, something about dating of our painting. So what I will show you later belongs to the second so-called Indo-Iranian style. What it is, we in general have three styles. It goes back to German research from the beginning of 20th century. It is not so easy as you see it. It may, we are not certain about peculiar dates. It can be 20 years in one or another direction. It could be, and it was definitely, that the styles overlap. Definitely we had second Indo-Iranian style much longer after Chinese influences started. But more or less, this is what we should take for granted. Actually, it's the same arguments what Ciro showed before, and this is a typical depiction of the Buddha. Just look at the depiction of the body of the Buddha, of the monk, that you see the body, and all these time lights of materia above, it's just only lines on the top. Same with, that's actually from the first Indo-Iranian style on the right side, also in sculptures. It goes to back to this so-called typical Gupta Buddha. It's so unnatural that you see the body, even if it's covered with material, that it just cannot be second time that discovered that or discovered that earlier. And also from Gupta or even late Gupta time, we find in India this backplate or mandorla, which is not typical for Gandhara at all. What is typical for Central Asia is halo inside the mandorla, which we don't have in India. But as you see, this is what we can say about for the dating. Now, Chinese scholars tend to date Kucha quite early because of different reason, but also Western scholars coming with this background of Chinese studies like to have it as early as possible. So this lying Buddha from 38, it's for the beginning of 4th century, and this lower one, I hope you can see the line, because the piece is in Berlin today. So that was dated by Li Chongfen to the 2nd century. So it simply, it doesn't work. They used to say the Gandhara Buddhas, not only in the 2nd century, but also later, look completely different. So what is typical for us, well, we see it, is this great Gandhara, also hello inside the mandorla. This is typical, and wherever you touch, actually, when you compare jewelry or you compare motifs on the stuff, this is this time of great Gandhara. We hardly can do anything against it. But the point is that the Buddhism in the Kucha area was definitely much earlier. So, but this is a shortcut in the brain, just to put Buddhism to date our caves to this time, because Kumarajiva was living earlier. And also historical material from this earlier time and also later, they are talking about huge monasteries in Kucha. So that, okay, we have these caves painted, so that was just connected together. But descriptions of the monasteries of Kucha, they talk about monasteries for 180 nuns. Nothing like that in our caves. This is something outside of and just a typical place for a monk staying. It is not 15 meters, what you see there, it's 1.5. So that's really for small groups of monks. It's completely different different world. So not because this is German and good research, but when you come from Indian tradition, it's hardly possible to come to other conclusions. So we will work now with the 2nd Indo-Iranian style, which starts around middle of the 6th century and continues. And continues farther, already with Tang influences in Kucha area. It is called Indo-Iranian style. What does it mean? So it is Indian. You can see just on the first view. People depicted are naked already, which is not Central Asian. So this is Indian art. And I must say, these Tokarians responsible for living on this area, who paid for those paintings, they were very well informed, and they knew Buddhist text. We have hundreds of manuscripts found there in the area, Sanskrit manuscripts, also Buddhist manuscripts in Tokarian. They knew a lot, and sometimes one asks why that was so important for them to keep so strong on this Indian tradition. When you compare it with Sogdian, it's really a huge difference. Sometimes we have a feeling that they were so-called more Catholic than the Pope. They were more Indian. They were keeping on old tradition. Already in this late time, we have not a single Avalokiteshvara. They were keeping on mainstream Buddhism. On Jatakas, they were depicted narrative representation of Buddha's life story and actually nothing else. So this is Indian. What is Iranian? People were from Iranian. That's these people responsible. You see at the first glance that they look completely different. But they call themselves Mahadevi, Maharaja, but still they were Iranian. I am very optimistic concerning the research on Kucha, because we have hundreds of wonderful pictures, we have this text, so in a couple of years, also with our research in Leipzig, we will be in the position to recognize all stories and to say which version was represented. There is a lot of Tokarian secular inscriptions. So with this material, we will probably also know about politics and about trades that we know. What we do not know is about Tokarian themselves. We have only these monasteries. We have Buddhist texts or completely secular text, and we have absolutely no knowledge about rituals, about their beliefs. So in just this point, I started my own research of asking what do we really know about Tokarians, and this is really not very much. Recently, it's still unpublished material, above one depiction of Parinirvana in Sinsim, an inscription. Inscription was known, but it is read now by Melanie Malzahn. Navaka, which is the novice, and after that, Tokarian equivalent of Sharada, the instrument for death, above the Parinirvana. It tells us something. Actually, we cannot say what was in connection with this ritual, but this Parinirvana tells us something about the use of the cave. We have like 100 times depictions of Parinirvana in the Kucha area. And this word Shraddha is also known from Tokarian manuscripts, which is really interesting, which is telling about this manual ritual for father and mother who were non-believers. So who were they when they were unbelievers? Actually, we see Kucha like really only Buddhist. And for example, something like this. Not for example, this is the only one, but it is the palm of the hand holding a coin. And this hand belonged to the demon, and the demon is stopping a boat. In boat, there are Tokarians. So it looks like there was the demon coming from water and asking people for money if they want to reach another shore. It is possible, actually it's nearly sure, because we have mentioning of such rituals in texts like Kalpalamandatika, for which we know with certainty that it was known in the area. There are Sanskrit manuscripts found in Kizil. And also this other Taisho 152, we know with 100%, we are sure, because couple of Jatakas are illustrated according to this text. So this is not much, but we can. It is not only Indian what we have it, and just it makes sense to search for something more. What were this Tokarian thinking about? So the phenomenon known across entire Buddhist world that different demons known from the area were incorporated into the pantheon, or in Buddhist pantheon. So there are hundreds, more than that, probably thousands of different demons, and we really don't know anything about them. The difficulty is that we have in this manuscripts found in the Kucha area plenty of names of Nagas, Rakshas, or whoever, but they are taken from Indian mythology. And also this interesting text, Miracle of Sunrise, which is only in Tokarian and probably had no counterpart in Indian text. Again, there are names not only from Buddhist pantheons, but none from Mahabharata. So with this is really nothing to start. A little bit more. This Mahasamnipata Sutra, long text, sort of anthology of different texts, Mahayana text, was translated one part in the beginning of 4th century. It caused at least 90,000 Nagarajas coming from from the area of Kucha. Anavatapta, so the Naga from the Anavatapta Sea is among them, so this is already something, another chapter of the same anthology of sutras. We have here at least Devaputras, Mahayakshas, Yakshi, Mahayaksha, and Kumbanda in connection with different names. So it's just a starting point, but at least we can say that it was sort of knowledge. There are Yakshas and all sort of different beings there. If we can make distinction between them, so how this one look like when we have a representation of particular stories, and this is a particular story about yakshas who steal the relics of the Buddha. So that we can say they are yakshas. They have two feathers in front of the head, and they are wearing calf warmers. So this is typical yaksha, how we can probably say. Yakshas, why these calf warmers, I really don't know. They have three different possibilities, maybe. And back again, they have speak ears, they have like animal ears, and they have this third possibility, which has a Sanskrit term, kumbhakarna, pod ears. Most of the genies of Kucha look like generals, so they are wearing armors. This is wonderful Naga. On above his head we have snakes. He is holding a standard with dragon. And this typical armor coming probably from Sogdia. Naga and Yaksha are in many cases placed on the sides of entrance door. Beautiful example from Sim Sim, when we have exceptionally two on each side. Here two Nagas, this is the male Naga, also is a standard. And this is his consort, also with several Naga snake above her head. On another side of the door, there are two male yakshas, one with naked body, another one in armor. Typical example, I'm not aware from India that we have Naga and Yaksha standing on two sides, but still there are so many descriptions like great Yaksha Atavika or Nagaraja Apalala, so that can be taken from Indian text. But it is starting to be more interesting now because Tokarian ate their own little something. So also here on two sides of the entrance door, in reveals of the door, on one side the Naga or on another a Yaksha. The Naga is, that's why it's so interesting that on one side there is not a snake, but there is a head of an elephant, which is really interesting because in Sanskrit this is the same word for a snake deity, for an elephant, and probably also this is the Naga flower, Naga Pushpa. So the joke works in Sanskrit, does not work in Tokarian, but what should it be? You don't make jokes with such deities. They are responsible for rain, so I don't know how to understand that. Let's have a look of his colleague on another side of the door. It's no less interesting. In the top of his crown, there is a bull, there is a cow, and what is really typical for the yakshas, they have tiny tongues. Tiny fangs, that's actually everywhere. And also, it is in most of the cases not preserved, this lower part, but if there is lower part, it's not really a gesture of admiration. It looks like they are afraid of. So, typical set of deities. They are absolutely Indian. This is Brahma with ascetic hair and Indra with the third eye. the four generals, the most important point, there are four. So that's how you can recognize them. They are kings of direction. I find Lokapala in literature. I'm not aware of this tape from Buddhist literature, maybe somewhere in Mahayana, but I don't know it. So in Indian literature, we are talking about four great kings, Chatur Maharaja. And they are depicted like demons, all of them. They have tongues and everywhere, like look at this. They have these speaky ears and they have tongues. They look so pretty, but this element is always there. By the way, also Vajrapani. Vajrapani is a yaksha, and you really can see in Kucha, in several cases, really danger yaksha. The Chatur Maharajas are no longer depicted like with fangs when they have retinue, and this retinue says who is depicted in the middle. Interestingly, this is this goes back on very old tradition. Sutras like Mahasamaja or Atanatika Sutra describe four great kings of directions in connection with a special group of genies coming from a particular direction of the compass. And that was illustrated already in Bharut in the 2nd century BCE, when we have Kupiro in the north and Virudaka in the south. The tradition seems to be forgotten in India. Actually, I know just one example from Goli, when on the end of the friezes we have on the eastern side Gandharvas and on the western Nagas. So I'm not aware about more cases, but in Kucha, it is really consequently, they knew about it. So Nagas are easy to recognize with these snakes above them. When they are depicted, they are on the western side. So there seems to be always like that. This is a wonderful example from Sim Sim 42. I wanted to show it to Anna. It also keeps to the direction of the compass. Yakshas are not preserved. Three other squinches are there. In the middle, there is this really interesting face. Only yesterday I realized that could be Okeanos, but I think there is the third eye, which is Indian edition. Buddhas below in the dome and three squinches. Nagas with Virupaksha, easy to recognize. On the other side, Gandharvas with several musical instruments. The most interesting is Virudaka, who, according to the text, is surrounded by Kumbandas. Kumbanda in Sanskrit means kumba is a pot, anda is egg, so actually to be understood is huge sexual organs, which was never realized. So we have some depictions in India, but never in connection with this with Virutaka. But south is in Indian culture direction of death and actually of all bad demons. So it seems that Tocharians really knew about that very well. On one side is a demon holding a bone. This is not Vajra, it is asymmetrical, and a horn. On another side, somebody with a club, and there is also here hanging, or the hand of another one, a bell. So we have bell, club, bone, horn, and all of them seem to be without hair, so they are bald-headed. Who they are, I still don't know. Pishachas, Rakshasas, Kataputanas. I hope I can show you that maybe I know a little bit more. But first, this example from Kumtura 34, as you see, there are really many of them. Wherever you see that, you see this wonderful different genies. In squanches are huge lotuses held by nagas coming from the ocean, and there are 12 deities in the middle. No time to say more about it. Oh, it's really not good what you see here. Some of them repeat Indian iconography for sure. I don't know who that was, but it's Yakshini definitely. They all, or most of them, or males, have different weapons. For the sides, Nagas are definitely on the west, so that they really keep on this direction. And on the east, on the south, so direction of Virudaka, this probably Kumbanda, with a bell and with a club and with little shoes. We have him again, actually several times. Bell is easy to recognize, but he has also a club behind him. He is bald-headed, and there is an inscription above him. It was tentatively written 2 days ago by Dieter Mauer, Kumbanda by the name Lohita Pa. So Lohita is the blood. We have Arakta Pa, drinking blood, the compositum of one Arakshasi, Arakta Pa. So probably the Kumbanda in Tokharian, drinking blood, is his personal name. And when you know it once, you will recognize the gentleman in several other paintings. That must be him. He belongs to really typical scene. Actually, scenes like that we have in nearly all, I would say in all, there were probably in every cave. There is the Buddha surrounded by different demons. Some wonderful belong to them, with the sphinx and clubs. The most interesting is the one below, because he is a demon with this calf warmers, he is holding sun and moon high. This repeats in several cases. That's the one the best preserved. This is Vishnu and Shiva with Parvati. Vishnu is blue with six hands. Garuda is well to be seen, and he's holding sun and moon high. So we call him, or I do call him Vishnu and another one Shiva, but as a matter of fact, I have absolutely no idea if they were, if Tokharians had known anything about them. They have not a very special, characteristic. They don't have a very special position in this depiction of demon. Iconography is different. Before, just on this, Shiva had three heads. Here, Vishnu on Garuda had three heads. And one head is really funny. It looks like a crescent moon. And also depictions of a separate deity with that is preserved in one painting in Berlin. The point is that this Vishnu and Shiva, they belong to demons attacking the Buddha. We have them really several times. Also in Maravijaya, so this holding sun and moon, they really attack the Buddha. This painting is absolutely fascinating today in St. Petersburg. Before it was taken to Russia, Grunwedel made some drawings. Among others, this demon, which is not preserved any longer. This is Indra. But actually, iconography, which is known from much later, so I'm not aware actually about from this time, but there are Puranic stories about it, also accepted into Buddhist pantheons with that, but much later. Maybe you know the story. Indra just had something with a wife on the aesthetic, and he swore him you should be covered with vaginas, and after that he changed it into eyes. So that's a famous story, but actually not depicted. So in this particular case, it seems Tocharian knew about it, but I asked myself also somewhere else, well, all of a sudden there is one eye somewhere on the hand of a deity. Maybe it's still the same case. So we have demons which we can, whom we can connect with particular Indian deities. This is one depiction, and just next to it, in the same cave, is another one, where other deities take this important role. On one side, we have probably this Kumbanda Tokiku, another demon. Another one is really particular. I have no idea who that was. It seems to me that Shiva and Vishnu do not really have a really particular position in this pantheon, but were just their iconography was taken to represent some really mighty demon, really mighty, that you can you have control on sun and moon. It is not everybody can. Now, just my two last slabs, maybe just to force a little bit of discussion, I put two representations which look a little bit like Sogdian, but I have no explanation what this camel is doing here. I have absolutely no idea. It's depicted underneath a Naga general, and also that we have, that there is like Prithvi, female, but also male deities coming from the ground. But they are holding not gods, but they are holding Tocharian donors. And they really look like yakshas. Thank you.